Welcome to the Sunday night There's a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Please help me welcome our speaker, Dave S., a compulsive overeater from California and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Dave. Dave, can you unmute?
Hey, there we go. Somebody finally gave me permission to unmute myself. Thank you so much, whoever you were. I am Dave. I am a compulsive overeater and 100-pounder. I'm based in San Francisco, California. And how nice it is to join your meeting. And thank you so much for my recovery today. Thanks for having me. I have pictures if you guys want to see them, but I think I just need to have permission. Let's see, do I have permission? Yeah, no, somebody just needs to enable me to do screen sharing, but we'll do that whenever it's cool. Okay.
Looks like you've been given the permission.
I got them. Yeah, thank you so much. Much appreciated. All right. Let's see. So I'll just start by saying welcome, welcome, welcome to anybody and everybody who is new, who's struggling, who is not abstinent today. Welcome, 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 welcome. I struggled for a really long time in Overeaters Anonymous, and I wasn't able to get any real recovery from compulsive eating until December of 2021. And, you know, it was a lot of suffering and a lot of difficulty. And, you know, it takes what it takes. And I will say, just in my experience, because I've gotten recovery and I've had some long-term recovery in what colloquially here in OA we call the beverage program. And so I've been clean and sober for almost 33 years now. And through the grace of a higher power that I use the word God. Not because it's the thing that I grew up with, not because it's the thing that I even understand at all. It's just a really easy three-letter word that that makes sense for me. And so I hope that if I'm going to talk about God today, like that is critical to my recovery. And you know, one of the most amazing things in the Big Book. And I'm so grateful we're talking about the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous because it's been a really, really, really powerful keystone for my recovery is this idea of like learning to let go of the prejudice that I had against that particular three-letter word. So I just want to say if anybody does have any particular preconceived notions about that, I'm not talking about your idea of God. So I just want to make that very clear right from the start. If you are totally comfortable with your conception of God, fabulous. If you are not, welcome. And it doesn't have to be what you think it is. It doesn't have to be my version of what I think it is. The most wonderful thing about 12-step recovery is that we all get to come to grips with and seek or and find our own conception of God as we understand God. So that was something that was really powerful, really important for me. But I really do think that sometimes I don't hear it enough. And welcome anybody who's an atheist, anyone who's an agnostic. Like that stuff works too. That stuff works too. I my God doesn't have to be supernatural. That's another really interesting thing. As the child of a Holocaust survivor, let me tell you, when I came into the rooms of recovery, I mean, first in the beverage program and then in Overeaters Anonymous, I really railed against this whole idea of that higher power that, how could there possibly be a loving higher power that would allow the systematic destruction and extermination of, 70% of my extended family by another organized group of human beings? It just didn't compute for me. And I had a really, really hard time with that. And what I'm so grateful for is nobody forced me into believing anything. They just said, you know what, Dave, that's okay. Like, do you think that you can do this all by yourself? And I was like, I can't. And that I was beaten. And they were like, well, do you believe that, something is happening here in these rooms that is working? And I say, yeah, something is happening here in these rooms because I saw you people and you looked happy and you looked healthy. And they said, you know what? Do you believe that what happened for us could happen for you? And I was like, I honestly don't know. I hope so. I was also very jealously guarding my wallet, thinking that, you all like this is going to be some like here's where the whole cult thing happens. And no one asked me to tithe 10% of my income. No one took me into a back room and made me sign some secret, like they were just like, cool, welcome. We want you here. You're welcome to be here, however it is, right? All that we ask is that you recognize that you, under your own power, got you into the mess that you're in today. So maybe, just maybe, something bigger than you might be necessary in order to help give you recovery. And that was enough. And I, they said, do you believe or are you willing to believe that a power greater than yourself could restore you to sanity? And I honestly didn't believe, but I was willing to believe. And and in fact, this is right in the big book, they say, if someone is willing to say that they believe or that they're willing to believe, we welcome them on their way, right? And we tell them that they're well on their way. So I thought it was this, really tiny needle that I had to jump through. And what I found out was actually this room of the spirit was broad and roomy, and that it was accepting, and it didn't have to have anything to do with religion. It's just funny. I'm not gonna be political about any of this stuff. It's just that it's been a tough week this last week, with a lot of things that are going on in the world, and I'm just so incredibly grateful, like that I've that there's something out there that I found that I can rely on, and I don't have to understand it, but I can use it, and that it's kept me abstinent, and that I, and it's kept me sober, and that's really all I have to rely on right now. I don't have to understand why things in the world are happening the way that they're happening. I can just focus on, can I stay away from that first compulsive bite? Can I continue to live according to this program. And so far so good. So let me just show you guys a little bit of a little show and tell, just because you're like, it's somebody who's on the screen and we don't know what he looks like. This is what I used to look like. So this was me in February of 2022. So this was about 3 months into my recovery. My top weight, I don't know it exactly because I wasn't weighing myself at the time. This was when I was already about 2.5 months in, and I was probably about 25 pounds lighter than my highest weight. So my highest weight when I came in on December 18th of 2021, when I finally had the willingness to work this program, and that willingness came to me out of grace. I was 350 pounds, and I'm 5'11", so I was morbidly obese. This is me and my friend Stu at that same hike in Sedona. I bring this up because this was us in February of 2023, a year later, and I had lost over 100 pounds already at that time. We were actually out in Mount Tam in Northern California. This is probably me at my heaviest. I wasn't weighing myself. But it was bad. And I have such. You see me. I'm smiling here. This would have been in June of 2021. And I'm smiling here because it was my son's graduation from high school. But I was absolutely ashamed and of myself and very, very, very sad. And I was always the guy who had to be behind the camera because I never wanted to get photographed in front of the camera. And I'm pretty sure I was heavier than 350 pounds here, but I just don't know what it was. And this is my son and I again in February of this year. We went to a Warriors game, and that's a medium, that jersey. Never before in my life had I fit into a medium. All the diets that I did, right? But more importantly, that he and I have this wonderful relationship, and with both my kids, that it's been such an incredible miracle of healing, to be able to get this recovery. Okay, so and just so you know, so today I woke up and I weighed myself, and I was 180 pounds. So thanks to the grace of a power that I totally don't understand, that I choose to call God. And the incredible power of the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous and the steps, I've released about 170 pounds. Sometimes my friends say, Dave, you're half the man you used to be. And it's true. It's true. Thank you, Overeaters Anonymous. So I want to talk a little bit about, because I was asked to talk about the Big Book, and I'm such a I'm a reformed Big Book thumper. Okay, so yeah, if you want me to recite page and verse, I can. It's so annoying to be that guy. Okay, so I'm not going to be, well, maybe I'll be a little bit of that guy, right? But I'm not here to preach anything to anybody. Okay, this is just my story. This is just my story. And what I found was that there's something really amazing in that textbook. And it really is a textbook, right? They talk about it as, the first 100 or so alcoholics who got sober, and literally precisely what they did. That's what they talk about it, right? That this is a set of instructions that they used to actually get recovery from alcohol and alcoholism. And in some ways I find that for a long time, even as a sober man who had who had found recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous, that that was all fine and good, because you know I can abstain from things pretty well, but you know you can't abstain from food, right? Like, well, I mean you can, but you know pretty soon after somewhere around you know 90 to 180 days you're dead, you know. So like you know you have to take the tiger out for a walk every single day, and you know I had a really hard time, like, what does that mean? Like, what does abstinence actually look like with regards to step one around food? And, you know, it's what I learned in Overeaters Anonymous is that, you know, the definition of abstinence is the same, right? It's the refraining, the action of refraining from the compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working towards a normal, you know, body weight. And maybe I'm getting that a little bit off. Somebody will get me right later on. But that the food plans can be totally different, right? And what's my food plan for today? Is that 15 minutes, Karen? Awesome. Thank you. So, you know, the food plan that works for me today is different than the food plan that I had that helped me define my abstinence in December of 2021. The food plan that I have today, if I told it to you and you started using it, it could kill you. I don't know, right? Your food plan could kill me. Like, the beauty of this is I'm not here to tell anybody what their food plan should be. And you know, that's a discussion for each person to have with his or her sponsor and doctor and, you know, and the like. What I have found for me though, is that, where things really started to click was when I sat down and talked with my sponsor about this whole concept of abstinence in step one. And, you know, what she suggested for me was that, like, at the bedrock is self-honesty. That even before I start thinking about, you know, cutting out entire food groups, or, you know, having a certain caloric limit, or, you know, doing certain kinds of exercise or action plan, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, she was just like, how about, Dave, instead of looking at this in this box that, you know, you seem to think that is necessary for you. Cause I'm telling you, man, I that's it. For me, it's about like binging and restricting. She's like, how about, could we make this just about self-honesty? And that whatever it is that you define, this is something that, you know, you can now use as an object for curiosity and hope. And it kind of went, I was just like, what are you talking about? Right? Like, because like I would go to OA meetings and, okay, now listen, I'm going to tell you, this is not what anybody actually said, but this is what I heard in my brain. Okay. So are we all clear? Like, I'm not making up anything on anybody. I'm just telling you, this is what I heard. So I heard two types of people in Overeaters Anonymous, right? So the first time type of people, like, for some reason, they all were like loosey-goosey. And they're like, I'm an intuitive eater. And like, my abstinence is, you know, loose and undefined. And I don't weigh myself. And, you know, now I just listen to the higher power. Like, and I was just like, I don't understand. That won't work for me. I need something that's, you know, clearer, right? And then the other kind of people that I would hear, again, this is not what you all were actually saying. This is just what I heard was, and for some reason, it's always in a German accent. You will eat only these kinds of foods, and you will have no flour and no sugar, and you will weigh and measure everything, and there will be no enjoyment of the food. And if you go out to the nice restaurant, you will have to bring the Tupperware, right? Again, that's not what any of you were, but that's where my brain went. And I was like, oh, you know, like step back slowly from, you know, from that too. And you know, my I was just like, is this one of those crazy insanity things, right? Like, and my sponsor said to me, she's like, Dave, like, whoever said that? Like, what is it? Since when is that what you have to do? That you have to, you know, like, well, what about the gray sheet? And yeah, and she's like, Dave, like that's years past, right? Like, you know, like you get to like how let's take this from the perspective of curiosity and hope, right? Like, let's remember that there's a higher power here, right? And you know, how about we'll just start by being honest with ourselves, right? And I was like, but what if I want to go to a nice restaurant and I get invited out to, you know, see, here in California, we have this place in Napa called the French Laundry. It's like a 3-star Michelin restaurant. Oh my God, what if I get invited out to this nice restaurant? You know, I don't want to have to bring Tupperware. And she said, who said you have to do that, Dave? And I was just like, what? She's like, yeah, you know, she's like, look, how about we do the following? Like, let's figure out a food plan that works for you. You can figure it out. And then, you know, like you get to decide whether or not, like, did you actually adhere to that? And you know what? And if you did, you're abstinent for the day. And if you didn't, you know, well, then maybe you're in relapse, right? And we need to look at that and talk about that in terms of the insanity, right? And how about we work the steps around it? And she said, and by the way, Dave, number one, have you been invited out to the French Laundry tonight? And I'm like, no. She's like, well, then don't worry about the French Laundry tonight. She's like, but I'll tell you what, like, if you do, you know, here's what we do. She said, you know, like, how about you just before you go, you know that you can change your food plan. And I'm like, I can change my food plan? She's like, yeah, you could change your food plan. So she's like, oh. Really? She's like, yeah, just in the aspect of self-honesty, how about like you call me or text me or what, you know, let somebody person in OA know. I was like, really? That's like that works? She's like, yeah. Because in the end, this isn't about like Dave and control, right? Like if I'm really taking the third step seriously, like I've turned my will and my life over to the care of this power that's bigger than me. And like if I try to be you know, like if I'm trying to do its will, which by the way, I don't know what God's will is for me, right? But if I'm trying to do God's will, like if I'm trying to do, you know what, then I'm gonna get protected. And like, and I don't believe, like it's been my experience. Like I went out to like a business dinner and we were gonna go, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, it's gonna be crazy restriction. I'm like, you know what? I called up my sponsor. I'm like, I'm gonna change up my food plan for tonight. She's like, what are you gonna do? I'm like, I'm gonna have one reasonable size plate. She's like, sounds really good. I'm like, I'm no dessert. No dessert. You know? I'm like, okay. She was like, great. And you know what? I went out to dinner and I had one reasonable size plate. And it even had some of those restrictive foods that I thought I couldn't eat anymore. But like I was protected. And the next and I by the way, here was the crazy part. Like, was like, I got halfway through it and I was like, ugh, this food is gross. Where did that, that was crazy. Like, what is going on here? Right. And what's going on is recovery. So what happened for me was that, you know, the next morning I came home and I was like, that was amazing. And I didn't binge when I got back and I got home that night. And the next morning, I was back to my regular food plan. And it was like, oh my goodness, there's something going on here that is way more powerful than anything that I could have expected. And, you know, like it came back to, oh, like let's actually start with self-honesty. Let's start with curiosity. And let's think about this as someplace that's about hope and not punishment. And when I moved away from this idea of my abstinence, you know, is going to be about punishing myself, and instead I could see it as something of hope, like everything changed. And what I was able to do, you know, when I sat down, I'm like, well, then I got to go look at what are the patterns in my life that are causing me to want to binge or restrict or punish myself. And I'm like, great, we got a step for that, right? That's step four, right? And by the way, a moral inventory, Dave, is not a beat up on Dave inventory. It's not a, you bastard, how could you have let that happen? You know, it's not, that's not what it is. In the big book, they talk about it as just like any business that takes inventory, like needs to take inventory to understand the stock and trade. And if there's something that is no good and it's sitting in the back and it needs to get cleaned out, throw it away. We get rid of it. You know, and it's the things that are the secrets that are keeping me away from being real and vulnerable with another human being, right? It's the secrets that tell me that, like, oh, they'll never understand you, Dave. Like, that is unforgivable. And, you know, being able to do step five and to find someone who can keep a confidence. They talk about that in the big book too, page 75, right? And then we go to it and we illuminate every nook and cranny, right? And that's what I did. And like by being able to speak and everything, right? So it's the resentments, it's the fears, it's the sexual peccadilloes, it's my sexual ideal, right? All that stuff and being able to talk about it with another human being and list and like showed me that the rooms of the 12 steps, right? These recovery rooms that we sit in that like they're the room of nod. Right. Because, you know, my sponsor just nodded. Oh, yeah, I did that, too. Oh, yeah, I felt that, too. Right. And, you know, to be welcomed back into the human race and to know that there is another human being out there who knows everything about me and isn't running away screaming, isn't blaming me or shaming me. Right. That's such a powerful thing.
25.
How my
25 minutes.
25. Awesome. Yeah. All right. So we're at step six. Step six and seven. That's where I live most of my life today, is step six and seven. Because it's I think there's a reason they're like the fulcrum. They're like at right at the midpoint of the steps. And by the way, it's also the two steps that the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous described the least of. And it's why I love a lot of the other literature. I actually find that the 12 and 12 in AA and also the OA 12 and 12 is awesome for step six and seven. It's so powerful, right? Because these are the patterns that like, I know they're not good for me. I don't like them. And yet I can't stop, right? And that feeling of like, why I should be better than this and I'm not, right? And step six was all about readiness. Because where does readiness come from? It doesn't come from Dave. Like there's nothing that Dave can do that makes readiness happen. I cannot pull the teeth to make myself ready. There's only one thing that I can do that I have learned, which is I need to pray. I got to pray. I got to go to my higher power and say, I'm not ready. So will you in your time, please make me ready. Whenever it is, whenever it's supposed to be. And this is what I do, you know, for these things that I keep doing and I can't stop and I don't, and I want to stop, but I don't want to stop. And sometimes I don't want to stop. And I'm like, but I know I kind of want to stop, you know? So it's like, okay, I can then pray for that readiness. I can say, you know what? I don't want to stop, but I want to stop. Right. So would you in your time, not mine, that's important. You know, please make me ready to want to stop, right? And then in seven, you know, when I am finally ready, and that's the powerful thing, like when the readiness comes, oof, you know, to have the humility and to say, all right, God, I don't know if I'm supposed to be a jerk today or I'm supposed to be... you know, if I'm actually even supposed to be some saint, right? Like I'm never going to be perfect. So can you take me as I am, good and bad, good and bad, right? And use me however I'm supposed to be used. And if that means that I need to get angry at somebody today, ooh, but anger, we should never get angry. I don't know. Like, but you know what? If you don't get angry, maybe you never take out the sword of justice. Like maybe you never actually go and say the important thing that needs to be said. You know, could it possibly be that that's God's will? to keep that character defect around today because it, you know, because it's a bigger part of the plan. Can I just be humble to say, I don't know what the right answer is, but please like make me willing to accept it and to try to do your will, you know, and make me an example that, that I can be helpful and useful to others. And then, you know, 8 and 9 are just like, I needed to clear the path, right? I needed to make things right. And by the way, there's a big difference between this is what I did and these are the harms that I caused. Very different, right? Like there are lots of things that I did that are totally in my head that actually you all have no idea. Like the person who I think I harmed, I actually did not harm. Right. That's why having a good sponsor is really helpful. And there are some people, some things that I think that's not going to hurt them. All I did was say some shit behind their back. They don't even know. Oh, that's the worst, you know, because actually the harm was to their reputation, character assassination, right? Like all of that stuff. And it's like, oh, you know, there's a whole lot more amends that I need to make here. So, you know, recognizing the difference between the things I did and the harms that I did to the other person was really powerful. And then, you know, and asking and trying to find forgiveness, right? Not just ask for forgiveness for what I did, but ask for being willing to forgive them for what they did. And then, you know, 10, 11, and 12. Right. Like these are this is the daily steps, the daily program that I try to live in. And it's just about doing this imperfectly. Right. And just trying to keep learning. And I love Overeaters Anonymous. And I love that I get to be someone who is still learning and, you know, constantly, you know, there's just more that gets revealed. And that the last part of it is I'll never be able to truly pay back what has been given to me. Right. So when somebody asked me to come and speak, you know, I'll tell you my story. This is my story. Take it or leave it. And I hope that it brings a little bit of hope to somebody who might be struggling today. And with that, I'm just so grateful to have the time. And I'm really looking forward to hear what you all have to say today. Thanks so much.